There's some news today involving the Colorado Rockies baseball team, which more than anything, the most important component of it all is it's making me remember what it's like when we have to record weekly podcasts.
Ugh. Yeah, having to talk to you
like we once just a week, did this like, last week.
The offseason is the best time of year.
Come on.
I've talked to you only once every like 2.5 months.
Like, you know, I mean, I get that we have to talk about it, but it's just like...
Well, what we're here to talk about is the Rockies' wives, fiancés, and girlfriends helping funding and arranging the 25-plus pediatric cancer patients and caregivers that they did. A very memorable and special weekend for everyone involved.
That's cool.
Yeah. That's why we're here.
I did not see that
story. It's a very nice thing for the Rockies' wives and girlfriends.
It's a very cool story.
Yeah. So anyway, that's it. Hope you have a nice one. Spring training ramped up.
Yeah, well, Rockies are in the seventh inning right now against Cleveland, and we'll talk to you next on the Purple Dinosaur Podcast.
We're just going
to
live stream this February 26th spring training game.
Yeah, basically. Yeah. Against the expressed written consent of Major League Baseball.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Without
the express written consent.
With the
employee. You know, I'm actually refreshing Twitter right now. I saw something might have happened. I don't know if you saw this at all, but it looks like the Rockies and Nolan Arenado agreed to an 8-year, $260 million extension to basically keep Nolan Arenado a Rocky for life. Did you see that? Did you see that at all? Did you happen to know?
Who is this about?
His name is Nolan Arenado, I think is how you pronounce it. Regardless, he seems like a pretty good player. I think he's going to be around a while.
What position is he by?
He's the third baseman.
If he was good, wouldn't he be the first, second, third? Like, if it's a ranking system, why are they giving all that money to somebody who's third?
Well, if I know the Rockies, they don't care much for first baseman.
I know the Rockies. They haven't figured out how to sign a good first baseman in quite some time. Yeah, indeed. That is the reason why we are recording this podcast on today, the year of our Lord 2019, and the day, the 26th of February. One of my favorite things, by the way, is Ken Rosenthal broke this story. He's an MLB Network insider, of course, and writes for The Athletic. But I love when it is a story about a Major League Baseball team, and the MLB.com story has to like attribute things to like sources and
right.
According to report, and we do that all the time on the minor league side, because it's just like you would think if you're somebody who just looks at things from the outside, you would think, well, aren't you the actual site for Major League Baseball? Shouldn't you just be able to report this?
Yeah,
that's not really the way.
Unless it is
according to the MLB.com headline.
Yeah,
Arenado rocks near record extension, source says. Yeah, Ken Rosenthal.
Decent source.
He did not first report it. Jeff Passan, who is now with the Four Letter Network, formerly of Yahoo, and I liked him a lot better then. Jeff Passan first reported the extension. Jeff Passan said it was for 8 years and $255 million. Ken Rosenthal says it's for 8 years and $260 million. Either way, it's a lot of money. It's more money than all of us, everybody who's ever listened to this podcast, everybody who's ever seen a PDP tweet, any of us, all of us combined, will ever earn or see in our entire
lives. That is correct. Actually, I think, oddly enough, I think Bob Nightingale had the news first, which Bob Nightingale is
Anthony's
always wrong.
Boy.
He is 100% wrong all of the time. He had it first. I got to work this morning at 6 a.m. Pacific time. I think it broke around 8 o'clock Pacific time, and I saw it, and I saw only he had it. Now, in true Bob Nightingale fashion, he still had the numbers wrong. Thank God, because he can't be right about everything
fair,
at some
numbers,
point. But
the numbers are not,
confirmed. So he might be right
reports.
When all is said and done. But
I know that there have been several stories throughout the time frame where it's always like the Rockies signed this person. Per club policy, terms of the deal were not disclosed. So I never know how the deals actually get reported accurately if the team doesn't disclose the details. Like, obviously, they have to be disclosed in some form or fashion, but I always thought that was interesting.
Yeah. So, anyway, but that he was the first one to break it. And then I believe once I saw his tweet, I even tweeted out, like, I will not for 1 second believe it. It's true if it's only Bob Nightingale saying this. And then our pal Nate Krickman tweeted us and said, it's also been corroborated by Dick Monfort and Jeff Bridich.
It seemed to be good sources.
So those are decent sources. Yeah.
I have not even really read anything. I just saw the push notification. It was like one of the first things I saw when I woke up, and I sat and sipped my coffee with a smile on my face, and I have been in love with Brian Kilpatrick's Twitter feed today, where he's just going back and finding the worst takes on Twitter from the last few years about, like, well, when Nolan leaves, Rockets will be just as worthless as ever, blah, blah, blah. Some dude who tweeted I think it was at Purple Row or somebody about how Nolan's going to look in Dodger blue next year. You know, all the Yankees fans, the dude from SNY who just like slings shit at the wall about like who the Yankees
which
want
one?
Next. And then like, you know, I quote tweeted his thing about like Yankees actually targeting Arenado and said this aged well. And he responded and said, well, he signed an extension. How did it not age well? Because, yeah, when you put that in as your qualifier of like, unless he stays around this team forever, the Yankees would love this guy.
Right.
Yeah, no shit. Yeah. So would everybody else, man.
Yeah, but, well, when the Yankees get Mike Trout and Mookie Betts and who else are they going to sign?
I think the reincarnated ghost of baseball.
I think they're waiting out Matt Chapman's rookie deal right now, I think, to get a third baseman in the Bronx.
Probably. Let's discuss things. And we welcome you in, by the way.
Oh, hi.
157 of the Purple Dinosaur Podcast. I'm Tyler.
And I'm Anthony Masterson.
And my dog is around here doing something. I don't know. What are you doing back there? Hey, I'm chewing on pieces of paper.
Oh, yeah. My dog is currently, my wife is homesick today. My wife is working from home. And so the dog has been running around and sleeping on her and going outside. And she's right now getting at the door, like kind of walking back in front of the door that I have right now to the office. And it's got all windows and she's looking in at me and the door's closed and she is not very happy.
Yeah, I would imagine. What are you doing in there without me?
Hey, but I mean, I don't really like this room at all, but if you're in there.
I'm supposed to be in there. My dog, she just grabbed a crumpled up piece of paper out of the trash can and started chewing on it. She never does that.
Fun.
She's mad at me because I came home. I've been gone for the day doing other work stuff, and I came home, and ordinarily I would just take her out immediately. And instead I was like, sorry, got to sit down and talk about Nolan for an hour. She's mad.
Yeah.
She's mad at me. Taking it
I totally get it. Yeah, we're going to dog park after this, so don't worry. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's good. Yeah, we'll go for a little walk around around Houston Lake Park. I'll rock my interlocking CR cap and feel very arrogant about where we are as baseball fans.
So anyway, here is the news.
So anyway.
Yeah, we can move on. Here's the news. The Rockies finalizing an 8-year contract worth $260 million, says Jeff Passan, locking up the star third baseman with a new deal that will last through the 2026 season. It includes a full no-trade clause, apparently, and also an opt-out after the 2021 campaign. So gets after the 3 years into the contract. If the Rockies are in contention trying to sign more players and Nolan's feeling good and they're still going to be winning some of those games, Nolan can stick around. Or if the Rockies at that point want to say, hey, we want to go a different direction, start a rebuild because all these guys have, you know, played their way up here, know really where else to go. We got to, you know, cut back on payroll. Then he can say, okay, well, I can go somewhere else. And so it's a win-win for pretty much everybody involved, which is how those player opt-outs kind of work. So this is after months of discussions, the agreement came together in recent days after the Rockies guaranteed that 8th season, according to Jeff Passan's sources. So he will not become a free agent after this year, like we had all thought that he might, or we were all terrified that he might. And also the AAV, the average annual value, will set a record in Major League Baseball for a position player at $32.5 million per year, breaking the Miguel Cabrera record that was set with his last contract signed with the Detroit Tigers. And who knows? Bryce Harper might break that in like an hour and a half. We have no idea. Who cares? No one's going to be with the Rockies for a long time.
Jesse Spector, our good pal, tweeted earlier today, quote, not sure which I like more, Nolan being with the Rockies long term or the entire year not being a constant fret fest over Nolan's impending free agency. I think that's a very underrated element of this of this deal, because that can weigh on an entire franchise. I mean, that's a clubhouse that if the Rockies were in a position where they were forced to talk about this all season long, because God knows, as we've discussed, the Denver sports media doesn't really have the capacity in many outlets to have multiple narratives going about one team at the same time, unless it's the Broncos. So if it was just a constant drumbeat of, well, is Nolan going to be around? How do you guys feel about Nolan? What's Nolan's situation? What's the deal with Nolan? I think that would have been exhausting to this team. This eliminates that, which is crucial. It also, I think, you know, last week we recorded an episode where we talked about how cautiously optimistic we were for this year. And I said, like, they get Nolan signed, that's the last big piece right now. Obviously, you'd love him to sign Bryce Harper. You'd love him to go out and get Craig Kimbrel.
Good luck now, but yes. But yeah.
That's the last big thing the Rockies really needed to get nailed down going into this year. I feel pretty good about where they are coming into this season, because we talked about these other teams in the National League West. Yes, the Padres got better. They also lost 96 games last year. The Giants haven't really done anything. The Dodgers have gotten worse. The D-backs have gotten worse. The Rockies, I don't know if you can really consider them one of those teams that has stood pat anymore by knocking out this deal. The thing that I like most about this deal is the Rockies have ensured that Nolan will be around for the next 3 years. That is their immediate window.
Right.
Their immediate window right now is the next 3 years. There is a terrific story up on Fangraphs right now from Jay Jaffe about all of the components of this Rockies roster that right now are going to be part of this team for the next few seasons. Kyle Freeland, John Gray, Irmán Márquez, Tyler Anderson, Antonio Senzatella, Trevor Story, all those guys are signed. They're under club control through 2021 or 2022. Charlie Blackmon obviously signed his extension. He'll be around. You've got Garrett Hampson. You've got Brendan Rodgers. Eventually, presumably, someone will play first base who's a warm body who they didn't sign off the street.
We'll see.
Maybe. There are a lot of things to be very positive and very excited about. And what this does is it keeps your bona fide star as your bona fide star through that window. And if things go well, then you continue to try to build around him to extend that window beyond 2021-22 and through the end of this contract or whatever it is.
Right. The only guys that are actually going to be free agents by the time 2021 hits that are currently on the roster, Iannetta, Chad Bettis,
yeah, that's okay.
Mike Dunn,
that's okay.
Sung-Hwan Oh, and Chris Russin.
Wow.
It's a lot of team control. It's a lot of team control still going on with the Rockies. A lot of these guys, I mean, Desmond will still be there, obviously. Chuck is signed through 2021. His option is right after 2021 as well. So, you know, it's going to coincide with Nolan's option. And he's just kind of, you know, after that option there, and Ian Desmond has his club option for 2022. I'm sure the big three will stick together in Colorado in 2022. Chuck, Nolan, and Ian Desmond all exercising club options, exercising options.
Yeah.
Desmond's the club. The other ones are player options. But yeah.
God knows.
That is
going to keep him around.
That's a lot of good news for the Rockies. It's a very young staff. They're not paying them a lot of money right now, especially those young guys, the Freelands, the Marquez, the Senzatellas. Those guys all under team control through 2022. They'll get into arbitration, obviously, by that point. But, you know, this is the time the Rockies have. And they have the window. And the window really is through 2021. That is the benchmarks they're setting for themselves. I will put it in Denver Broncos terms for people who might need that. When the Broncos signed Peyton Manning to a 4-year contract, they gave themselves a 4-year window to win a Super Bowl.
And they
won it in the fourth year. But
clown on Twitter the other day try to say that was not worth it, that signing Peyton Manning was the worst move that John Elway ever made. It wasn't worth it. They won a Super Bowl.
Went to two Super Bowls.
Like, what else?
In 4 years.
What else?
Went
to two Super Bowls. They won a Super Bowl. Winning a championship is the only thing that matters in sports.
Correct.
If I was the Rockies and I knew that signing Nolan to an extension would get you a World Series title within the next 3 years, and then you would have to go sub 500 for the 5 years after, I'd take that.
It's a trade-off.
If I was a Kansas City Royals fan, I'd still be happy thinking about the two World Series my team went to and the one that they won.
I mean, look at the Broncos right now. Like,
right.
They suck, and they've sucked
They're
for a few years since they won the Super Bowl.
At the moment.
But
they've also won 3 Super Bowls, including one in the last 6 years, 5 years, whatever.
It's a grace period. But
yeah.
you give your contention window and you open up to a certain point. Right now, it is very clear, looking at the roster as it is constructed right now, that they are setting their championship window, or contention window, as it were, through 2021. That is the next 3 years they think we have got our best chance to compete. They know the Padres have a great system coming up, but they're going to be paying a lot of guys, or a few amount of guys, a lot of money on that team. The Padres are really, really relying on all of the guys in that farm system pretty much to hit. And that's not usually how it works. Your Tatises might hit, your, you know, Mackenzie Gores might hit, but some guys are just not. That's just how it works. D-backs, they don't really have a true direction right now. The Dodgers can't live off the, you know, the contracts they have forever. Clayton Kershaw has already been semi-shut down already this spring training with arm problems. That's probably not a good sign for that team. And the Giants are, they're just stuck in neutral. Their offense is going to be terrible again. Bumgarner,
until they sign Bryce Harper, improve my hot take tweet.
This is Bumgarner's last year in San Francisco. They still have Johnny Cueto and Jeff Samardzija signed to bad contracts. They're not, they don't scare me at all. So if this is any time for the Rockies to announce their contention window, it is right now. And they just did that today with this signing.
Yep. The parameters of this deal I find interesting. And I was texting with Nate Kreckman about this earlier today. And to an extent, Major League Baseball owners lately are like Mr. Burns in the episode where he brings Bart to the house, like, as his heir.
Right.
Bart becomes Mr. Burns' heir. And he hires a group of actors to play the Simpson family. And he films them saying, like, they're happy Bart's gone.
Right.
Major League Baseball owners are basically that way with players right now, where they're just like, nobody else is going to want you. Look at what happened with Machado. Look at what's going
Bryce
on.
Bryce Harper still isn't signed. Yeah.
And I think I honestly, I'm going to put this out there, and I don't think that it will go over super well with a lot of people. I don't believe that there is active collusion going on in Major League Baseball right now. What I do believe is the philosophy of front offices and ownership groups has changed in a way that just so happens to make it that billionaires now get to be cheap. You look at what teams want to pay for now. They want to pay for guys going into their prime.
Sure.
They don't want to give out Albert Pujols contracts anymore. And I think that might be the one that really tipped the balance in this.
And I don't blame them for that.
No, me neither. Like, me neither. But if I was a player, I would be furious. I would be JD Martinez. I would be really, really angry about the way things have turned, especially because of the fact that, like, things were done this way in baseball for generations. You play well, you got a big contract, you rode off into the sunset.
Right.
That really, in reality, and I remember a few years ago, Ichiro gave an interview in which he said, I've never understood the way Major League or American major sports pay their stars. I've never understood paying someone based on past performance. Like, that doesn't happen in Japan. That's not the way contracts are handed out in Japan. You don't look at somebody and think, like, oh, well, you were great for the last 3 years, let's sign you for the next 10. And in reality, when you think about it, that's true. That doesn't really make a whole lot of intuitive sense. So I think Major League front offices, I don't know if it qualifies as collusion, and I will tweet no collusion in all caps with an exclamation point repeatedly. No, I won't. But I think that Major League front offices have all come to this conclusion and have seen other teams start to come to the conclusion that it doesn't make much sense to hand out big deals for players that likely have their best years behind them. Nolan is not one of those. Nolan is, what is he, 28, 27?
Yeah, he will be 28.
28, going on 28 right now. So he still has a few years where he's going to be entering or in his prime. That, to me, is a good thing about this for the Rockies. You sign a guy who still has some very, very good years ahead of him before maybe he crests and things start coming back, you know, toward what normal human beings are able to do. From Nolan's perspective, I think he looks at what's going on in the free agent market right now and thinks, I don't want to deal with that. And that pushes the Rockies over the top and being able to sign him to an extension. The thing is, collusion is so incredibly difficult to prove.
Yeah,
and there's so
ask
much
anybody
discussion
in the 80s.
About.
Yeah.
Exactly. It's collusion. All these teams are colluding. In order to be collusion, you basically have to have documentation that all major league teams got together and said, we're not going to sign for
which
you.
Is how Kaepernick
that's
got his money.
That's never going to happen. Yeah.
That's how Kaepernick got his money. Happen. Like that's because there was proof there.
Right, exactly.
But it's the stuff like that. Like Rob Beertemple had this today, a Pirates beat writer, about Francisco Liriano. Now, obviously, Francisco Liriano is not going to be getting a $2 for $40 million contract. Obviously, everyone knows that. But he said in his free agent quest this year, and this came from a lot of guys, Mark Reynolds had similar stories, Brad Brock had similar stories, said about getting contract offers this offseason, they all came the same week, seven of them on the same day, and they were all minor league deals, pretty much the same money. That is the fishy part of what's going on here in these past two offseasons. Yeah. Stuff like that. It's not that, you know, Manny Machado's contract didn't, you know, prove that free agency is fine. It did not prove that at all. It's stuff like that, like the Francisco Liriano story, that you're like, okay, that's definitely a little bit odd. You know, and that's why you think that there's probably something going on, because, you know, Major League Baseball has record revenues, $10 billion in revenue going on, and all these owners are pocketing that money. And that's the problem. The money's not, the money's in their pockets, but it's not going out to fix their team. But don't worry, there's a lot of fans on there who are proud to stump for these billionaire owners instead of trying to get the players their money. Like they feel sorry for these billionaire owners pocketing all this money, and I don't understand that part at all. Yeah. That's what I don't get in the slightest.
Yeah, that baffles me a little bit. Jay Jaffe's story is fantastic. The Rockies basically get what seems to be a pretty solid bargain on Nolan. He says, quote, previously I ran Arenado's numbers through our internal contract estimation tool with very conservative parameters. $8 million per WAR, win above replacement, a number that's empirically supported according to the recent work of Eno Saris. There's an article that he links to from there. And just 3% average annual inflation as opposed to $9 million or more and 5% inflation. Even then, his valuation over that time span approached $300 million. Basically, over the span of what would be an 8-year contract, if Nolan were to get $8 million per WAR of what is estimated for him over the next 8 years, that would come out to about $294 million. So the Rockies save a decent amount of money on that, as it appears. You know, I'm not entirely convinced that Nolan doesn't opt out after 3 years, but even if he does, I think the Rockies have accomplished what they wanted to accomplish, and that's keeping Nolan around for this immediate window of contention.
I like it.
That's huge. Yeah. The other thing that I think factors massively into this was announced yesterday, and that is a 3-year contract extension for Bud Black. And it just seemed like the timing for this was too perfect to not be something big. Is that yours?
It's just my our smoke alarm going off in the house.
I was like, if that's mine, my dog is going
to. I believe the oven must be on. Is that right, honey? The oven's on. She's making cookies. She's making cookies. And so for whatever reason, even when there's not smoke in the house, the smoke alarm on the other side of the house will go off. That's always fun.
Maybe you have a ghost.
Because then the dog is like, hey, guys, there's something going on here. Hi, Zoe.
Hey, guys, I'm going to die. That's what dogs seem to think when a smoke alarm goes off. But Bud Black being signed to an extension seemed to me like Bud Black and Nolan Arenado apparently have a fantastic relationship. And that deal gets announced, and then the next day Nolan's deal gets announced. It just seems like Jeff Breidich and Dick Monfort and Nolan in these conversations, I think that was probably a component where Nolan said, you know, I want to make sure that we have the continuity here, that we're going to be pushing forward, and this isn't going to be a situation where all of a sudden, you know, things go poorly this year, Bud gets fired, you're trading people away. Like, to be able to know that there is a commitment to building on two straight playoff appearances, that I think was the biggest thing for Nolan.
Right.
And I think that's not a component to be underrated in this
deal. Well, we talked about this in the last time we talked, which was like last week, which is gross that it was like so short of a time ago that we talked about this.
Yeah, gross.
But all the comments that Nolan made, all the very, very candid comments that he made about how well discussions were going between the Rockies front office and him, it made it sound like he wanted to be here. And Bud Black was clearly a big part of that. And that's the thing I want to get into a little bit about Bud Black, because, you know, we all rip Bud Black for his, you know, reliance on veterans or the way he can't really handle too much of an offense. It's not really his style. And I think when they announced the extension, Jay Jaffe, who's usually pretty good, Jay Jaffe's the guy who has stumped for the Rockies, stumped for Larry Walker about the Hall of Fame. He's usually pretty good, and he had some quote tweet about it saying, "Oh, so we can run Ian Desmond out there 160 more times." It's like, yeah, okay, dude. Yeah. Like, fine. Yes, that is a thing that Bud Black does.
Really?
But like, as bad as Bud can be with the offense and him not playing rookies and too much veterans, blah blah blah, he is twice as good as working with this pitching staff, which is monumentally more important in Colorado. I mean, that's the thing that you need more help with. And if you can figure that out, clearly Bud Black has a pretty good handle on what's going on there with his pitching staff. We have the best pitching staff the Rockies have ever had over the last 2 years, made back-to-back playoff appearances, which has never happened. And a lot of that is because of Bud Black. And it's almost like he's Clint Hurdle-like with the media, so people like him, but he's better at the X's and O's, so fans can like him because he's leading the team to victories, if that makes any sense. But that's I don't like the people who will, like the national media members who will come in and, you know, make fun of Bud Black for playing Ian Desmond. Like, it's like when you have like a kid brother and like he's really annoying and you like mess with him all the time, but then somebody else messes with him and you're like, "Hey, back off, man.
Like, hey, get the hell away from
exactly.
my brother."
Exactly. Like, it's kind of like that.
Like Hannibal Buress with his cousin.
Yeah, it's like you don't
get off my cousin.
Like,
man.
You don't know him. Like, you don't know Bud Black like we know Bud Black. You can't say that. We can say that because we know Bud Black. You can't say that at all.
Yeah,
and that's what it bothered me yesterday when something that happened, you know, like stuff like that was going on with the extension. I know we didn't really have like a Purple Dino Cast, you know, thumbs up, thumbs down tweet about Bud Black extension. I think it's great because clearly he has the locker room.
You and I wanted Bud Black hired five years ago.
But we always know that with the caveat that Bud Black is great with pitchers, not so much right. with offense. Even I work with Mark.
Which
I work with,
should be fine at exactly. Coors Field. Like, you should be able to just put eight guys into a batting yes. lineup and have them score seven
runs. Well, and that's what, like, I work with Mark Sweeney on Whip Around during the season. Mark Sweeney is in San Diego. He was there when Bud was there. Smart me. Yes. He was there when Bud was there. They're still very, very close. He talks to him all the time. When he hired him, when the Rockies hired Bud Black, I talked to Sweeney about it, and he said, you know, he's going to be great in Denver. Don't worry about it. He needs a good bench coach. He needs somebody to be able to work with the hitters and figure out how to do the offense, because the offense is not really Bud Black's strong suit. Even in San Diego, not his strong suit. Pitching staff, you're going to be fine, which is why Bud Black is a good fit in Colorado. So that's –
And it just so happens, coincidentally enough, that they have had the best pitching staff in franchise history since.
Yeah, like, that's not a coincidence, guys. Like,
right.
It's not.
Right.
Like, it is not a coincidence.
Like, yes, it helps that they drafted and developed and did all the things you needed to do. Scam. But if you put this same pitching staff in with Walt Weiss and that previous staff, I don't think that they're very successful.
No, I don't at all. So that's why I think the Bud Black extension was great. And that's, I think it was a correlation versus causation thing with signing Arenado that quickly. It was what, yesterday? Like 2 days ago that they signed?
Yeah, yesterday.
Yesterday they signed Black. Today they announced they signed Arenado, or are going to announce they signed Arenado. There's a reason why that happened. Like, clearly those guys have nothing but great things to say about Bud Black. We have not heard a cross word at all. Even with my people I talk to at Fox who know that clubhouse, like, there's never been a cross word about Bud Black. When I see John Morosi, when I see Ken Rosenthal, I ask them about how the team is doing, and they say they love Bud. Everybody loves Bud Black. Like, players, staff, whatever. He's a great fit in Colorado. It was great that they signed him, and it led to them wrapping up Nolan for the next 8 years.
Oh, that's so great to hear. That is just, like, hearing that as a sentence.
Right?
It's just, whew, I got to fan myself like a like a 1920s Southern lawyer.
I do declare.
Oh, boy. I declare my excitement. Oh, boy.
But you know what I'm saying? Like, it really bothered me when someone like Jay Jaffe would come out and say, oh, just make some, like, pithy little comment. And, like, he kind of – it wasn't, like, a true ratio, but he kind of got ratioed a little bit for it. Like, a lot of people in the replies were like – not even Rockies fans were like, hey, man, like, they've done pretty well for themselves the last couple of years. Like,
yeah, yeah, yeah. I don't, you know, I don't know. I, and yes, I know. Obviously, Steve Foster and Darren Holmes have been around longer than Bud Black has. But I think when you look at what the Rockies did for the 2 years with those guys and Walt Weiss around versus what they've done for the 2 years and Bud Black around, I think there is a very noticeable difference in what the culture is on the pitching staff for this team. And yes, drafting and developing and signing and developing and trading and developing guys, that is the key to it. But they've built something with Bud Black and with those coaches. And that is, I think that's as big of a reason why somebody like Nolan believes that this is sustainable.
Right.
Because it's not the late 90s Rockies of, well, they're just going to have to outslug everybody. They've proven now that they can make this work by building a pitching staff that works.
Well, and it seems like a lot of the guys get along too. You know, like,
yeah, yeah.
I mean, that, and as dumb as that sounds, that's a big part of it. But you know, Nolan was here when, you know, when he first started up, the pitching staff wasn't good and they had to outslug everybody. And that's really hard to do. So he sees what can happen when the team gets even a little bit of pitching. Like, you know, like Hill would probably admit that the offense didn't pick up the slack when it came down to it last year, because it's pretty much true. So I don't know, man, like it's a good time to be a Rockies fan.
Yeah, that's kind of weird. Last week we released an episode called The Cautiously Optimistic Hour, and I don't think we even need to be
No, this is even funny. Like, just what we're talking about right here, Drew Goodman, you know, people are tweeting at him, like asking about whatever. Someone asked him, if Bud Black isn't our skipper, does Nolan deal get done? And Drew said, Nolan's a bright guy, and I'm confident he assessed many things. Buddy's presence along with Rocky's direction was a huge positive. That's not arguable. Like, yeah. Like if unless you're just like a dumb, stupid person who wants to get like every single last cent he possibly can, you know, or unless you want to play for the Yankees, or unless you want to play for the Red Sox or Dodgers or whatever. Like, if Nolan's a smart guy, which we think he is, like, you got to see what's going on right here, not just with the market, because he's going to get paid more than anybody really has before, you know, for a position player. But he sees the market, but he sees the team is going in the right direction. He likes the coaching staff. The front office clearly was very open with him, very positive with him when it came to the talks. It was a very cordial back and forth for a long extension that is pretty rare for the Rockies. I know they've signed guys to extensions before, but not to this degree and this kind of money involved. For it to be that cordial is very, very strange.
Yeah.
And he sees the players, and the players are good friends of his. You know, the pitching staff is good. The minor league system has guys coming up. I mean, he sees that this is going to be a smart place for him to be for the next few years.
And I mean, let's not discount the fact he did get 32
yeah,
and
listen,
a half
like it's not like, oh, poor Nolan taking a pay cut. Like, you know, no, obviously
right.
not.
But I think what you look at when you're Nolan is obviously you weigh all those factors, and you look at Manny Machado is a younger version of almost the same exact player, and you can debate which one is better. We've had that conversation numerous times. Manny Machado waited around until last week to get signed, and Nolan Arenado does not strike me as the type of guy who would handle that.
Yeah, role. It seems like he just wants to be there and be playing and be in a clubhouse, and you know. And it was, I think it was a year ago today that JD Martinez was the final free agent to get signed, and it was, you know, Bryce Harper still out there right now. So like, if those were the two biggest free agents coming into each of these two off seasons, JD Martinez and Bryce Harper, still not signed by the end of February, that's one, it's not a good look. And two, it's a little bit dangerous for free agents coming up. It's like I said, it's not like Nolan's, you know, taking like $5 million next year, but like, come on, you know, you see it when you're a player, you see the writing on the wall when it comes to these kind of things. And it just so happens that the Rockies wanted to get this done. Nolan wanted to get this done, and it got done. Amazing how that works.
Yeah. It's kind of cool. I do want to toot our own horn for a moment. Now, granted, I will admit, a couple episodes ago, I was starting to feel a bit more pessimistic about things. And, you know, based on the general tenor of society, I feel pessimistic about most everything. So I said that I was starting to lose hope that Nolan was going to sign an extension. But with the exception of that episode, the one thing that we have said for the last several years in regards to Nolan is throughout franchise history, the Rockies have always opened the checkbook to sign franchise cornerstone.
Homegrown guys.
Really,
yes.
The only guy who you can say they didn't do that for is Matt Holliday.
And also they tried. Maybe Ubaldo Jimenez. But St. Louis offered him an extra year, I think.
Right.
That the Rockies weren't going to do.
And we've heard things. Matt Holliday had a deal worked out and then basically backed out of it at the last minute.
Scott Boras said no to it.
They kind of soured them on each other, and the Rockies dealt him for, I think the guy's name was Carlos Gonzalez.
No, they dealt him for Houston Street, and the throw-in was Carlos
Houston
Gonzalez.
Houston Street. And
Bud
Smith.
Greg Smith.
So that deal worked out fine. Ubaldo Jimenez, the other one, Ubaldo never really turned into what you thought he was going to be after those couple of good seasons here. Every other big moment in franchise history where they've had to pony up for somebody, they've done it. It was Larry Walker. It was Todd Helton. It was Troy Tulowitzki. It was Carlos Gonzalez. Like, they've always done this. And they get this reputation because we live in the laziest sports media town on the planet that, oh, the Rockies never pay for anybody. The Rockies pay for everybody that they develop well. Did the Rockies go out and throw a ton of money at starting pitching? No, because they tried that once and it burned them for a decade plus. They just last year cut their final check to Mike
Hampton. That's amazing.
Last year, in the year of our Lord
17 years later,
they stopped paying Mike Hampton. Ugh. And I, you know, the whole purse strings argument of, well, you're a mid-market team, you don't really have that money. I think that's, and I saw somebody, a baseball writer, tweet this today, that this kind of blows up the notion between the Padres and the Rockies that mid-market teams can't afford these contracts. Every team can afford these contracts. It's just whether or not they will do it. And that's true. I remember Peter Moylan, Peter Moylan tweeted out something earlier this offseason where he said the same thing. Somebody said, well, it's just the amount of teams that can afford a $300 million contract. That's why these big free agent all-star caliber players are still out there. And Peter Moylan said, I got news for you. Every team in baseball can afford a $300 million contract. Every team in baseball can. Maybe outside of, like, the Rays.
But right. And even they could handle these things.
It might hamper them from building a lot around it, but they could. Are the Montforts perfect owners? Absolutely not. Are the Montforts great owners? No. I think only just over the last 4 years could you even make the argument that the Montforts were good owners.
When they've shut up and retreated back into the shadows, basically.
Really, the best thing that happened to this franchise was Dan O'Dowd saying he had had enough.
Kind of.
The Rockies, and don't forget, the Rockies were offering Dan O'Dowd an extension, and Dan O'Dowd said no. The Rockies did not fire Dan O'Dowd. The Rockies were ready to extend
Jim Tracy,
Dan
same.
O'Dowd.
Yeah, I mean.
Right. And he said
the handshake agreement to be a manager for life. And he was like, you know what? I'm good. Like,
yeah, I'm probably all right. No, thanks. That was the best moment in franchise history, arguably, when Dan O'Dowd walked out the door.
No,
because
think about it, like,
what Dick Monfort did. Yeah. And he said when he gave Jeff Breidich that job, he said, I'm going to let my baseball people make baseball decisions. I was at that press conference when Jeff Breidich was introduced. Yep. We had a scrum with Dick Monfort afterwards where he was kind of trying to slip out quietly and people stopped him and asked him questions. And that's what he said. He said at the end of last season, and kind of came to the realization that I need to let my baseball people make baseball decisions. I'm going to take more of a back seat. And look at what's happened since then. The Rockies have made back-to-back playoff appearances for the first time in franchise history. I would say right now they're not going to be listed this way, but I think the Rockies are a favorite, if not the favorite, to win this division.
They're going to be up there with the Dodgers,
Especially with the fact the Dodgers now have no idea what they have with Clayton Kershaw. Clayton Kershaw is not throwing a baseball at the moment because he's tried a couple of times in spring training, and apparently it's been a disaster with a shoulder issue.
When have you heard Dick Monfort's name, or Charlie for that matter, their name in the papers, like in the last 4 years?
Right. And I'm not saying this
good,
to take
bad,
a shot
or indifferent,
at them,
like, you know?
But like, it's been only for the things that you last remember about them. For Charlie Monfort, it was a legal issue. For Dick Monfort, it was if product and experience don't bad, come. Don't come. Yeah. And that was in the first year of the PDP, the last year of Dan O'Dowd. And ever since then, guess what? Dick Monfort has taken a back seat. Rockies have made back-to-back playoff appearances. They just signed maybe the greatest player in franchise history to an 8-year contract extension.
Like, welcome.
The Monforts are far from perfect, but the laziness, the extreme laziness in this 15-year-long narrative of blaming everything on the Monforts, and the Monforts won't pay for anybody, and the Monforts are too cheap, the party deck takes away money that could have been given to starting
pitching.
All the Monforts care about are all the bros who are going to drink at Coors Field.
True.
It just doesn't hold up. Like, that stuff does not hold up. And they're a business. They're supposed to make money, first of all. But, like, that stuff, it's not accurate. And somebody tweeted at us today and said, will this finally end that narrative?
Oh,
no, it won't.
Yeah.
Because
it should,
nobody in town will pay attention longer than just, well, Nolan Arenado signed a contract extension, and they'll figure out a way to marginalize the impact of that and say, well, they still don't have enough pitching, despite the fact that that was the most ridiculous take to come out of 2018.
The irony is that, like, the three of the biggest contracts to ever come out, whether it's AAV, free agent contracts, or just in terms of years and length, were given out by the Marlins, the Padres, and the Rockies.
Yeah.
Giancarlo Stanton's 10-year, $325 million, largest ever in baseball. Padres Machado one was a 10-year, $300 million, largest for a free agent. And Arenado is going to be the highest AAV for a position player. Marlins, Padres, and Rockies. Yeah. Not the Red Sox, Yankees, Dodgers, Giants, you know, whatever. Marlins, Padres, Rockies.
You know what's pretty amazing, too, about this contract is it seems to be that everybody is on board with it for both sides. Jay Jaffe's final paragraph in that story from Fangraphs today is, quote, still, splitting the difference between the two estimates from the tables puts us right in the ballpark, and that's the tables of the estimated contract worth, puts us right in the ballpark of where the Rockies and Arenado ended up. If they're paying a premium to keep a franchise cornerstone and fan favorite at a time when they project to be on firm financial footing, it's tough to fault them. Likewise, if Arenado is landing a record-setting salary while staying in his preferred place of employment without enduring the scrutiny, nitpicking, and rancor that can come with a trip through free agency at this time during a time of labor strife, there are no guarantees that come with this size of a deal beside the money. But both sides did just fine, and Rockies fans have reason to smile about securing one of the game's top 10 players for the long term. Like, everybody seems to have made out okay in this.
Yeah, I mean,
and that is it's kind of a rarity as of late. So I think you know, last week we were cautiously optimistic. I think this week we are very
optimistic. Yeah.
Yeah. The one comment on this story is, good for Arenado. Let's see if he can get to 3,000 hits, 600 homers, and somehow still not get in the Hall of Fame because LOL.
Yeah, let's do it. Yeah.
basically true. So the Rockies now head into 2019 with basically everything settled. You no longer have to worry about Nolan.
Yeah, like, because that's the thing. If they would have, like, every time they lost two games in a row would have been all about Nolan leaving. Every single time.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, like,
exactly.
To have that out of the way, it's such a huge, huge deal for this team.
Yeah. God, that's so great. Oh, it's just so... I feel like I can breathe a little easier today. I don't think there's really been much else going on.
No, I mean,
they've started to play baseball.
You have to imagine that they're probably done at this point, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I don't see them obviously signing Harper, you know, not with this contract in place. I don't see them signing Craig Kimbrell, because I think he's asking for a lot of money, and they're already paying three relievers a lot of money already, including a closer, so they don't need that, obviously.
Yeah.
I don't see them signing, like, Dallas Keuchel. I don't think, one, they think they need him.
I can't believe Dallas Keuchel's still out there.
I always forget that Craig Kimbrell's still out there. Like, that dude's still really good.
Yeah, Kimbrell's surprising, but Keuchel, you would figure, like, somebody looking for a starting pitcher, just won a Cy Young.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, let's throw some money at this dude. Granted, he hasn't been the same guy over
the years. No, but still. So, like, I think, barring something catastrophic, this is probably it. Like, again, I still think they're going to sign Cargo at some point, you know, just because.
Yeah,
you know,
I think so, too.
Nostalgia's sake.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah.
I don't know.
And especially now that Nolan's back, like, might as well. Just get
They're such good friends with each other. Like,
yeah.
And it's so funny. Cargo's, like, overall numbers last year were, like, overall fine. Like,
yeah. Like, yeah, they were fine.
He was basically a league average hitter last year. His OPS plus was 99. Average is 100. Like,
yeah.
Hit 276, 16 homers. But, like, I feel like every single time we saw Cargo last year, we were just complaining about him.
Yeah.
Or, like, man, that dude looks so bad. It's like, oh, well, actually, like, he wasn't great, and I don't think they should, but I think they will. Like,
and they don't need him to be great, you know.
Well, like, yeah, and we're seeing, like, what we're hopefully going to be seeing in the future, seeing so far in the first week of spring training. Nolan's been hitting second. He was supposed to be hitting second today, but he got pulled from the lineup once the news hit. Garrett Hampson has had a nice little start to spring. Raimel Tapia has had a nice little start to spring. We're not going to go deep dive into spring training stats right now because that's stupid. But those two guys having nice springs would be really, really huge for making the team and just for peace of mind.
Tapia has to.
Tapia has to. Hampson doesn't have to necessarily. But like I've said, I think Garrett Hampson is going to win that job outright. I've been the conductor on that train for so long. The hype train for him, like, so
woo-woo.
Yeah.
Toot, toot.
I mean, yeah, we can get into what this means for like Brendan Rodgers going forward. Who knows?
Yeah, I'm very interested as to, and I tweeted this out today, I think what this does for the Rockies, from a developmental standpoint for especially Colton Welker, it pushes them from a scenario where Colton Welker is on a frenetic rush toward being major league ready. If there was the looming prospect that Nolan was going to leave after this year, to now you can afford to take it a little more slowly with him. The Rockies have some options now because they do have a glut of infield prospects.
Yep.
And not all these guys are going to be around.
Hampson, McMahon,
Ryan
Brendan
McMahon,
Rogers.
Garrett Hampson, Brendan Rodgers, Colton Welker, Tyler Nevin, Grant Levine. I don't think Grant Levine is going anywhere.
Just make them all first basemen at this point.
Yeah, might as well. Yeah, somebody's got to stick.
You make all these other free agents first basemen that never played first base before. Just make all your own homegrown guys first baseman.
Yeah, exactly.
No, like, was it Baseball America or was it MLB.com? I think MLB.com pipeline had the top 30 prospects for the Rockies come out this past week, and 29 of them were homegrown.
That is pretty
I mean, that's also hard to do. I mean, the only one, I think one guy who wasn't was Jesus Tinoco, who came over in the Tulo deal. Yeah,
in the Tulo trade. That is pretty amazing. I am quite excited. The Rockies did lose today to Cleveland to fall to 2-2 in spring training stats. So I'm not saying the season's over yet, especially with this news today. But I'm a little concerned.
Yeah, no, I know. I mean, when they lost the first game, I was thinking, you know, they should just blow it up. But now I think maybe give them a second.
Now after another loss. Got to make sure you keep the brakes, not hold on to them. Don't pump them. Whatever the opposite of that
is. Sure.
No, do pump them. I don't know. I've had a headache all day today, and I just my brain barely is functioning. I don't really have much else. I'm just very, it feels weird to just be like pleased about something.
It's weird. It's a weird feeling.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a little odd. I'm not used to it.
Nope.
Not used to just being like happy about anything when it comes to sports.
What does that mean?
It's very strange. Or life.
Yeah.
Especially
life you. Sucks.
Especially talking to you all the time. So I guess that'll do it for now. We'll say goodbye. But obviously we now have to be back talking to you. Relatively normal span of time between episodes, which is really annoying.
But as long as there's still good news happening, I'm okay with it, you know.
And not having to talk about Nolan and impending free agency. God. Thank God. We don't have to talk about that at all this year. Thank God. So that's exciting. You can get in touch with the show. We never check the email address, but purpledinosaurpodcast@gmail.com if you want to email and never have it read. You can also tweet at us at purpledinocast. And
that's the best place to find us.
I guess that'll do it. For Anthony Masterson, my name's Tyler Munn. Enjoy your Nolan parade. If you throw a Nolan parade, let us know where it is, and we'll do our best.
Like a second line in New Orleans?
Okay. Yeah, exactly. Like, you can just hire a band to walk around with you. I think that's on the books in Denver also. It is.
Oh,
not.
Okay. Sorry.
That'll do it. We'll probably talk to you next week then.
Or something.
Or something. Okay. Bye. Bye. Thank you.